It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? Because we're recording it at night. My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how are you feeling on this night
time? Little Survivor After Dark action.
Yeah. Who's gonna fuck?
Is it Jeff Probst? Yes.
Yeah, probably. That guy fucks a lot, I bet. Actually, probably not. His wife is... Let's stop trying to guess how often Jeff Probst fucks, because we could fill a whole episode.
Jeff Probst, does he have kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could call him the, what's his name of Survivor, because he's got kids.
The Heath Slater.
Heath Slater.
I just wanted to know if he was a confirmed sex haver or not, but he is apparently.
He's definitely had sex. He's had sex with at least one contestant, because they dated and or got married.
Whoa.
But they are no longer together, unfortunately.
Oh.
Match made in Survivor Heaven.
Or hell.
Yeah. There's a season
idea. Do you think that she broke up with him because he kept narrating all of their sexual encounters?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the exact reason. She's actually
I think that's how Jeff does everything, and I'm sure it drives everyone crazy.
I love seeing Jeff Probst go to the dentist because he's trying to narrate, but their hands are just in there the whole time. It's like, you can't do that, Jeff. Yeah. All right, Thomas, did you watch Survivor Ghost Island last night?
I sure did, Jake.
It's a new night. Let's talk about it. This episode was called A Diamond in the Rough. It's a
good title that is sourced from an unfortunate part of this episode.
Yeah, I actually didn't pick up where they said that line. Where was it?
From Chris's good emotional rap that he did.
We'll get into that. Yeah, it's a title that I am surprised they have not already used. But I also assume that they don't repeat titles, which they very well could, and I just never looked it up. But I don't think they have. Anyway. We start off on the Malolo tribe. Bradley calls tribal council a wake-up call. Yeah, okay. Michael apologizes if he hurt anyone's feelings.
Why would you apologize?
I don't know. It's so hard to get a read on him. Like, sometimes he seems like such an asshole and, like, I don't know, entitled or whatever.
He's like 18 is the thing.
Yeah.
You're like barely a real person when you're 18.
I can't get a read on him because he can't get a read on him because he is a teen. Bradley now sees Michael as a strong player. Great. I like that on this tribe there is the Bradley versus Michael feud, and on the other one there is the Documic versus Chris feud, both of which could carry an entire season on their own.
Yeah.
It's good. Good cast in this season.
It is good.
And
there's also very clear sides to take, because two of the people are fine and two of them suck.
Yeah. The two people who are fine are all of them.
Oh! Because
right, they're sexy boys.
Bunch of beefcakes out there.
Yeah. Do you listen to Pod Save America at all?
No.
They went to the March for Our Lives in D.C. Last weekend and interviewed some people. They interviewed some teen boys who called themselves the Beef Gang. And so, like, for the last half of their interview, which was, like, 3 minutes long, they just talked about their name Beef Gang. And I was far more amused than I thought I would be. Anyway, Beef Gang, get it trending. Just kidding, don't do that. Who gives a shit? Okay, reward challenge. They have to do a bunch of shit and then throw some balls at a target. The winning tribe gets coffee, which is something I have predicted every week, except for this one. They also get pastries, and they get to send somebody to Ghost Island. Seabass throws for Malolo, Chris throws for Navidi, and absolutely destroys the targets.
I mean, yeah, he played baseball at, like, a professional level, so...
Was it professional, or was it college?
It might have been college, but I thought maybe
you don't get paid in college.
I thought maybe he played in the minors, too.
It's possible. There's many a minor league, but I recall him saying college.
At the very least, he's a good athlete. And he's specifically as good at throwing balls.
Yeah. It was weird, too, that he didn't mention that, at least to us, until after the challenge was finished. It's like, oh, yeah, he used to play baseball. Like, oh, we didn't.
I think he mentioned. I mean, if you watched the, like, introduction video, the YouTube videos, you would know that.
Well, I did, but, like, several weeks ago, so I forgot everything. All I remember is Wendell plays basketball 5 times a week, and Stephanie is from Chicago, and Michael seems like an asshole and said simple people. That's why I don't
Chicago's
like
Big Ten contestant, Stephanie.
Let's talk about Chicago's real Big Ten team, fucking Loyola.
Hell yeah, baby.
Final Four, baby.
I'm excited for them to lose to Michigan.
I disagree. I think that they're going to win. I think they're going to be the lowest seed to ever win the championship.
I'm actually, it's a good
position. Cut those nets, baby.
It's a good position to be in for me as a Michigan fan, because if they lose, like, how could I possibly be mad at Loyola winning?
Right.
But, like, also, they're probably not going to beat Michigan.
I mean, yeah, but they have not been expected to win any of their games.
Yeah,
so.
But Michigan is by far the best team that they've played.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, facts don't care about your
game. Oh, all right. I didn't see that one coming.
And the fact is, Loyola's going to beat Chicago, and they're also going to beat Michigan.
Oh, good.
The team they're actually playing. Okay. So, Chris wins the game, and he yells, "I want those pastries," and part of me really liked him when he said that, because I related a lot to that, because I also like pastries.
Jeff was like, "Oops, we baked too much." And Jake was like, "Oh, really?
Oh, let me help with that." Did you notice this when he smiled after winning the challenge? They inserted a little ding noise. Like, okay.
That's some
the editors are having
fun. Yeah, I was
going
to say,
it's
some fun editing. They're having fun in the booth.
You think that they, like, got upset that they were so shit on last season that they were like, all right, we're going to have a little fun with this one?
Could be.
We're going to get back in those good graces.
Better it's different editors and they were like, last season sucked, we're going to totally, like, destroy them.
Yeah. I like little things like that. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. To be like, hey, this is a fun show. Then they force Malolo to draw rocks to see who goes to Ghost Island, which is boring. I wish that they would come to consensus, but whatever. I'm excited for the merge because I think it'll be one person sending one person, and that'll be good. That'll be a good time. And then, in a talking head, as we have already mentioned, Christopher raps. So let's get down to this. Let's talk about this for a majority of the episode. What the fuck?
Do you have a transcript of what he said?
I considered going back and rewatching and writing it all down or looking it up to see if somebody else did. I didn't do that though because I didn't want to relive it in any capacity.
I was going to say, I think almost word for word, the exact same thing. Like, I thought about it, and then I was like, I'm not putting myself through that again.
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick Google search if, there it goes. Okay, Chris Rapp Survivor. If it doesn't come up immediately, I'm not going to bother looking any further, but okay, it's coming slowly. Sorry, my internet's the slowest internet that's ever existed. Does anyone have a link to Chris's rap? Okay, Reddit, let's see what you have to say here. I'm so mad about this whole thing. It's just a YouTube link. Okay, so they don't have the actual lyrics. But it was bad, and it made me really upset. How did you feel about this very good rap, Thomas? Is
it
your favorite thing that's ever happened on this goddamn show?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really good, and I was like,
yep.
What, is that Eminem on my screen? Oh, wait.
Is this Kendrick Lamar right here? It was...
Who is this, Machine Gun Kelly?
Who was the one who threw Machine Gun Kelly on the floor at that wrestling event? Remember that?
I believe Kevin Owens. Was that Kevin Owens? I think Kevin Owens powerbombed him through a table.
Good.
Like
good
he for Kevin like Owens. He deserves.
Yeah. If I ever see Machine Gun Kelly ever again, I'm just hoping Kevin Owens.
That right should be anyone's corner. Reaction to seeing Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. It's like, where's Kevin Owens? Yeah, so Chris decided to he rapped a couple lines, and then you thought, oh, it's over. And then he did another line that sort of rhymed with the previous line. And okay, well, now he's definitely over. And then he did, like, two or three more lines.
It would have been way better if at the end of it he had said, I'm a poet and I didn't even know it.
I'm a poet. I was not even aware that I was a poet. Chris, I was really starting to like you because you won that challenge. And then there was the whole ding when you smiled.
I'm not fooled by him.
Don't get fooled again, the Who.
I can't believe that you, for a minute, started to like him.
It was a millisecond when they did the... I only liked him because of the editor. I liked the editor's use of him, not so much him.
Last time I ever cry over Chris.
Exactly. It was upsetting. It was really upsetting. I know that we complained about Triple H for still completely... like a whole year later, none of that terrible season upset me as much as Chris's.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there are many things that you can say against Survivor Triple H, but one thing you can say in its favor is that this did not happen in it.
No one rapped in the entire season.
Yeah, there was not like a fucking meathead white guy that did a rap.
He was just practicing for his showcase later. But I think another good thing the editors did with Chris this episode, I don't think they put any music underneath that. Like, not even thematic music.
No.
For the season.
No, just they like, well, they got to get that...
It is cold.
They got to get that a cappella so that people can, you know, they can get that out to the internet and people can put their own beats behind it.
Oh, could somebody please do that? I'm not going to.
Yeah, put like the... the, like, Shook Ones Part 2 beat behind it or something.
No, you know what? Okay, here's what
Put the Good Vibrations beat behind it.
No, I was going to say, I'm gonna cut together that rap and the introduction song we're using for this season, My Boo, by Ghost Town DJs.
Oh, that rules.
And that's going to be pretty good. Maybe we'll go out with that instead of... Island in the Sun. I was like, what song are we using to go out with now? Yeah, okay.
Maybe you have him rap over Island in the Sun. Who knows?
Ooh, that's going to be a lot easier to take care of. Let's do that one. Okay, so that's what we're going out with now. And I think that's the end of the episode. Okay, bye. This season's called Ghost Island, so let's talk about Ghost Island. Stephanie pulled the rock that sent her to Ghost Island. You know what I was thinking just right now? Everybody pulls a black or a white rock, and one of them sends you to Ghost Island. I don't remember which color. Why isn't all black rocks, except one of the black rocks, has a little ghost painted on it?
Oh, that'd be...
That would be fun.
That'd be really cool.
It'd be a fun little addition to this fun season. Okay, fine.
They always have those rocks anyway, because, you know, they need them for other stuff, so I think that's more
but
what it is.
It's Ghost Island, so you can... You can paint a ghost on it, and anytime that you need to draw rocks, the ghost is the rock that does...
Look, I'm not saying that it's not a good idea, I'm just saying I think it was laziness on their part.
Absolutely. They're incredibly lazy on this show. Ghost Island sounds like a dead idea in the water.
More like Loafs Island, because they're always like loafing around.
Lazy assholes. Once Jeff Probst took over as producer, there was one less person who had to be staffed, and it's just gone down the drain since then.
Come on, guys. There's no I in Island.
You're exactly right about that. There's only Jeff Probst. Okay. Stephanie says that 24 hours can completely change this game. Pretty astute observation, Stephanie. A person I considered picking for the season. She then talks about how she left the Mormon church and her husband in a 6-month period. I have not been the biggest fan of Stephanie throughout this season. I thought she was, like, a little much. She was aligned with people I liked, so I was okay with her. But this segment made me really like her a lot. I didn't know that she left that church. I didn't know that she divorced her husband. That's cool. Good for her.
Yeah, it was interesting. I feel like I didn't know a lot about her, but it was certainly a very interesting, way to learn about her.
Yeah.
Which I'm, excited to find out more about her as the season goes along,
Yeah, she seems like a really compelling, interesting person. They were saying in, like, the run-up to this season that they wanted to recreate Coach's, like, monologue on Exile Island or whatever the season was. It was a season with Exile Island. I don't remember if it was exactly Exile Island. But he had, like, this really, like, self-reflective monologue about himself within the game and just the game and the world and whatever. And they're like, that was a really great moment in Survivor history. How do we get that again? And I feel like they've really been pushing it with everybody who goes to Ghost Island. But I think Stephanie's is the first one where it's felt, like, super genuine and interesting. So, again, good season. Except for that one time that one guy was rapping. That was bad.
I'm going to go out on a limb with this episode and say that I think this was the first episode of this that I actually did not particularly enjoy. And it's not just because of the rapping. I'll get into it once we get into Tribal.
Okay. Okay. On the Navidi tribe, James calls Chris a physical asset, which implies he doesn't care for his rapping, which good for James. Also, remember James? He's on this.
Yeah, he's there. He's laying low. Good for him.
Yeah. The coffee and pastries remind Donathan of his mom and grandma, and then he and Laurel have a really sweet heart-to-heart. Chris sees Donathan is bummed out and tries to relate to him by saying, basically, I also love my mom. Great, Chris. Did you write a rap about it, fucking Macklemore? I don't like Chris. So now apparently that worked because now Donathan is considering working with Chris. Okay. Okay, Donny boy. Is Donny boy a phrase? That's a thing people say, right?
Sure, yeah.
All right. Let's get into this immunity challenge. There's 3 bags hanging on a dock. I forgot what this immunity challenge was until I started reading the notes. It's so good. One person runs out to grab each one of the bags while carrying a wakeboard. And then the wakeboard is attached to a giant hand crank, which the tribe pulls the person back into the beach with. And it is the greatest thing I've ever seen on this show.
Yeah, that was good. That was the best part of the episode, I thought.
I think I want to see, after Final Tribal Council, I want to see Jeff put the urn of votes on his back and then have him jump on one of these wakeboards, and then they cut to L.A. or wherever the reunion is.
And he comes.
And there's the whole cast.
He comes in. Yeah, they're pulling him in on the wakeboard. I like it.
Bring it back. Wendell is very good at this. Desiree has a harder time holding on and is underwater for at least half the time that she's getting pulled in. Navidi wins the whole thing. Kellen says that she is disappointed in herself. What do you feel about Kellen? She's all right, right?
Eh.
Yeah. Could take her or leave her. Malolo says, is the next tribe to be featured in the episode. Michael says he is prepared to vote for Jenna or Stephanie if he needs to. Kellen targets Jenna, which I don't like very much because that's my person.
It's bad.
Jenna realizes that she is on the chopping block, so she starts flirting with Seabass, which was a smart move because apparently they are still together.
Really?
Yeah, somebody posted a link to, like, their shared Instagram, and they're like, they're the new Figtails.
Figtails!
Except probably better. A little too early to tell. We'll see in the future. Desiree targets Stephanie because she's a bigger strategic threat. Stephanie approaches Bradley in hopes of them working together.
Well, I mean, a great strategic player like Bradley would know, you know, like he's done so many good things in the game.
Well, yeah, because he's a very smart, adept player, and everybody likes him. Everybody loves how good a player he is at the game of Survivor. Michael tells Bradley that he's loyal. Sure. And then before leaving for Tribal, Desiree looks in Stephanie's bag for an advantage, but does not find anything. When it comes to people we picked, I think mine is looking a little better.
Do you think if Michael were to turn on Bradley, Bradley would be like, these Malolos ain't loyal.
Okay, Chris. Good joke. Okay. Before we talk about, what is it, Tribal Council, we've been doing the show too long for me to forget what that segment is called. We got to talk about the wildlife shots this week.
Alive.
There were a few.
There was a crab.
It was not only a crab, a big crab.
It was a big old crab right before Tribal Council.
Humongous crab. There were some fish. There were some birds. There was one bird in particular with a yellow marking around its eye, which was cool. And then there was also the common house gecko, which is a real cool animal.
Sure. Tell me more.
Okay. It is also known as the Pacific house gecko, Asian house gecko, house lizard, or moon lizard.
Oh, I like that one.
That's a really good name. If there's not already a band called Moon Lizard, it's free for the taking. They are nocturnal. They hunt insects around porch lights, which is why they are called the house gecko. They were spread all over the world by hopping onto ships. They're about 3 to 6 inches long and live to be about 5 years old. They're not dangerous to humans, but they will bite if they perceive danger, although their bite will not pierce your skin.
Aww,
how cute is that?
That's adorable.
It also, like many lizards, can lose its tail if it becomes alarmed. And that is the moon lizard. Moon lizard would also be a good wrestling name.
Yeah, it would. I just like the idea of the gecko biting you, like, hey, and then it doesn't do anything.
Hey, stop being mean.
Get out of here. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, buddy. Okay. Tribal Council happens. Bradley is concerned that Stephanie has an advantage. Michael argues that they should keep him around so that they can win as many challenges as they can before the merge. Bradley recalls the previous Tribal Council and says about Michael, It makes sense that the first thing I want to do is get him out. That's not great for Michael. Stephanie says that she's playing for her kids, just like Jeff. She's got kids. And also that she has a lot of game left.
She should have been like, I'm confident I have a lot of game left to play.
Jenna says that she wants to continue to build relationships. I mean, she wants to, Seabass. She wants to, she and Seabass want to, they want to recreate the shape
she
of
wants,
water.
She wants to catch that Seabass.
Yeah, that's it. She's going to do that, like, lame dance move where you pretend to, like, throw the fishing pole, or fishing line.
She wants to hook his
lip.
Yeah, she wants to ensnare that sea bass in her net.
Mm-hmm.
Means they're gonna fuck.
Michael says that he's been watching since he was 13 years old, which is the least strong argument of the three of them.
I've been watching for 10 years, and by 10 years, I mean 5 years.
5 years. I'm like Benjamin Button. I'm bad at aging. I never saw that movie. Desiree says there's always a good reason to take someone out. You just have to find it. It's a pretty good line from your person. But, I mean, which of the people, of our people, got votes this round? Well, I'll tell you. They all go and vote. Desiree got a vote. Jenna?
Yeah.
0 votes for Jenna, but one vote for Desiree.
One vote for Desiree from the person who was voted off.
Yeah, Stephanie got all the other votes. Michael turns to Bradley and then says, thank you. Why did you say you didn't enjoy this episode so much?
I hate that Malolo keeps getting sent to tribal when there is a dominant alliance like this that keeps whittling it down, despite the fact that it is killing them in challenges, and it removes any tension because there's no way for them to actually turn anything around. Like,
yeah.
The inevitability of it just saps any of the drama. It's like, and it also is like dumb because they've essentially, there's two things that'll happen when you have a dominant alliance like this that keeps picking people off on their own tribe. And it also is like a reinforcing cycle. It's like a feedback loop because they eliminated Bradley,
right?
Who was one of their better physical players, Brendan, yeah. And immediately lost the next one, and then they've knocked off another person, and now it's like, well, there's two people left that aren't in the alliance, and so there's two things that can happen. Either you keep going and eliminate everyone from that alliance, and then cannibalize yourself, and it's like whoever is at the bottom of the pecking order has just played themselves into getting eliminated, or you force a tribe swap and break up your alliance. Either way is dumb. You shouldn't do it.
You think a tribe swap would be a good idea?
We know it's going to happen.
Okay. The way you were talking, you made it sound like you didn't see the preview for
this
week.
No, I made a point of mentioning that because it's like you're either going to keep whittling it down or you're going to force them to do a tribe swap, in which case you're compromising your alliance.
Yeah. They also, phrasing this sounds like victim blaming, but it's also just bad strategy to not try to like get in there and try to be like, hey, you're on the bottom. I guess they did try that when they had more people.
No, they did. They did. This alliance is like absolutely everyone is like absolutely controlled by basically
Bradley
and Kellen. Like nobody will break ranks, despite the fact that like Chelsea is very obviously at the bottom of this group because she never talks.
She was even on this tribe.
Yeah, like it's so obvious, and they were just like, "Nah, we don't care. We're not going to listen."
Yeah, it's yeah. No, I
they could have voted Bradley off.
They could have, but they didn't. And now we're getting a tribe swap next week.
I just think it's not fun at all because, like, one of the best things about this game is people, like, doing clever stuff around tribal, and it's like no one does anything. It's just inevitable. Like, they literally were just like, please don't kill me. Like, that was all the three people that weren't in the alliance did.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a 20-person season. That's bound to happen once or twice. But it's all right, because we are getting a tribe swap next week, and it's a brand new game.
I'm relieved. I'm just sad that the people that got eliminated got eliminated.
Yeah, I know. But also, it might not be a tribe swap. There are rumblings that it might be the merge already.
Really?
15-person merge. People have talked about it. It would be very early, but I would not be surprised, because this is, as the years have gone on, become more and more of an individual game. Not to say that it wasn't to begin with, but people are realizing earlier and earlier, and it's just a matter of time before everybody gets on the beach and they all get a different colored, what are they called? Tube top? What are they called? Buffs.
Buffs,
yeah. I got there.
If that is the case, if it is the merge already, then it was a good strategy on their part. But I don't think it's gonna be the merge.
I don't think so either. I think it's still too early. It's a little too outside of the norm for them to do that. And plus,
it just seems
two tribe swaps is fun.
It seems like a pretty simple cause and effect, because you typically only get this many tribe swaps if one tribe just keeps getting their ass kicked in immunity.
I'm trying to think, when was the last time they did two tribe swaps? I think it was Second Chance.
Yeah. They'll do it. I mean, they did it with No, they did it with one of the Brains Beauty Braun ones because Beauty won, like, every single time to start.
Yeah,
and
because
so they had...
pretty people are better. I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah, so
pretty
they...
Pretty people are the best people.
They had to switch things up.
Okay. Thomas, do you want to discuss the points we've won this week?
Sure.
All right. You got a whole point for Desiree. You got as many points for Desiree being in the show still as she got votes in Tribal Council. So that's one. You also got a point for Navidi winning reward. So now you have three. Nope, you have 12 points. Sorry, I don't know how to read. I got a point for Wendell surviving. I got a point for Jenna surviving. And I got another point for Navidi winning reward, and that's all the points that I won.
So you're at 13, I'm at 12.
So lucky number 13, yep.
So, all right.
Tribe swap coming up, most likely. Whom do you think will win the reward? Also, is it going to be two tribes or three tribes?
I think it will be two tribes.
I think the sorry, words are hard. People are saying either two tribes of seven and one person goes to Ghost Island, which would be unsurprising.
Or three tribes of five.
Of five, which would be silly.
It'd be weird to go to three tribes not having started with three.
That's what they did in Second Chance.
I suppose that's true.
But yeah, it would be weird because there's 15 people left. And one tribe has eight and the other has six, right? So look, you're decreasing the number in each tribe of contestants left. And I don't really see the point in doing that. So I think you're right. I think it'll be two tribes. Which of the two tribes do you think will win the reward challenge?
I'm just going to say them. I'll say Malolo wins it.
That's what I was going to say. It's not fun. I guess I'll stick with Navidi then. What do you think the reward will be?
I think the reward is going to include ice-cold beer.
Well, Thomas, here's the thing. When they swap tribes, they destroy their whole shelter while they're at the challenge, so they have to remake their shelter. So I think they're going to need tools to build a shelter. Just kidding. I'm going to also stick with my last week's prediction and say pizza paella.
Hey, at a pizza.
It's a pizza paella. What's the tribe who's going to win the immunity? Remember, you don't know who's ending up on either tribe.
I don't. I'm just going to say that Navidi does.
Okay. Well, I'll say Malolo does because that'll be fun. Who do you think will be sent to Ghost Island either by fate or by another tribe?
I am going to say that James gets sent to Ghost Island.
That would be interesting. Who is left? Kellen already went, didn't she? I'm going to say your girl Desiree then.
Okay.
She hasn't been yet, I don't think. Who will be voted out?
This is wishful thinking, but I think that Bradley is going to get his comeuppance.
Whew, that would be good. I think it's going to be Angela. That's the prediction game. Oh, Thomas. Let me tell you about the challenge this week.
Oh, boy.
In a segment we like to call the Challenge Chunk. I know you've been wondering, Thomas, and yes, the Burger Authority was in charge of this challenge.
Whoa!
The King came and hosted this episode. The winners received, the Troika, ugh, who gives a shit, received a Burger King field trip where they drove around in sports cars and ate a bunch of Burger King.
Wow.
It was a girls' elimination week. There were three girls and four guys on the winning team. Somehow none of the girls ended up in the Troika. And they promised, Zach, Tony, and the other one were like, no, we promise we're not going to send any of you in. But they did. They sent in Natalie, who was on their team. And then Cam eliminated Natalie.
Wow.
Yep. So the season just keeps getting better and better, huh? It's really good. It's a really good time. I love it. The challenge, Vendettas. It's going to be over soon. They're going to the final in a couple episodes, so.
Sure.
And then Champs vs. Stars 3 will start, which features... Do you remember anybody who's on it?
No.
Drake Bell.
Oh, yeah, that's who it was.
Louise Hazel.
Yeah.
Brooke Hogan.
Oh, my God, yeah. This was a crazy cast list, if I remember
yeah, you're
correctly.
Right. A number of other people who I have forgotten. Okay. Well, next season of The Challenge is called something, Final Reckoning. But the season after that has not started filming yet. And I'm hoping it'll be X's 3 because they have contacted Jessica Figueroa. That's not how her name is pronounced. And Taylor Stocker.
Hey.
Which might be how his name is pronounced. We affectionately refer to them as Figtails.
Figtails.
And we want to get them on X's3, so use the hashtag Figtails on X's3 on Twitter.com. What's next? Our Twitter is DYWSLN. My Twitter is Jake Scheidel. Follow either one of those or Thomas's, which is
at TomNotTom. I just had a really good idea for, like, a funny joke.
Oh, great. Great preface, first of all.
You know how at the beginning of Mike Will Made It songs, there's always the Mike Will
okay,
Made It drop?
Yeah.
What if it was like that, but what if it was like that?
Did you watch
what if it was like that, but it was like...
review on iTunes.
But it was like
always,
Mike...
Have a great summer.
Will Made It.
I said, have a great summer.
Made.
Stop doing that. Have a great summer. It's coming up. It's going to be springtime soon.
Deuces.
It'll be summer. Have a great summer.
It is springtime. It's not soon. It's springtime right now.
It's still cold, though, so, like, is it really? Did you say deuces?
Yeah. When you're on.
Stop doing that!